Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a blessed day to stay focused and standing on the wall, praying for the Office of the President and for this nation so that souls can be saved and we can reach the destiny of not only this nation, but help the gospel of the kingdom be spread to other nations as well. With that, I want to start off in our study of the watches, and for the next couple weeks, it'll be on the early evening watch from 6 to 9 p.m. Today is the importance of the evening watch. In the passage of scripture I want to focus on today is out of Genesis 24, and the two passages within 24 are verse 11 and 63. And in those, we see two different scenarios where in the story of Eliezer being sent out from Abraham's house to find a wife for Isaac. And he goes to find Rebecca, and on his journey, he's set with angels. I think that's kind of important to see throughout scripture here. But we'll also see that in starting in verse 11 is he's made his journey towards outside the city, and he stops at the well. And it says in verse 11, he came to the camels. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time. And then the story goes on. Rebecca comes, draws water. Before that, he prays to the Lord, "Lord, you know, have the one who does X and waters my camels, that she be the one." And so she did, and he asked, and he got confirmation. And then so he went back to her father, told her father, "Hey, I came from Abraham's house." And then as he's making his way back through that whole scenario, he makes his way back to Isaac. And then in verse 63, we see Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. And then Rebecca sees him, etc. And then they become married through that purpose. But what I want to focus on is these two passages here, because this is the point where we're seeing during what watch are these things happening? And they're happening towards the evening watch. And we point that out to show the importance of those two watches, because they really show that throughout scripture, the times of things that are happening, the Lord will reveal things of when even Isaac would go out to meditate after, you know, losing the life of his mother. And which is why Abraham sent out to find him a wife, was to comfort him during this time and to help him overcome that loss. And we're seeing that the anxieties of the past, especially for Isaac in this scenario, were being let go, and the new was coming in. And so as we're in this season of restful warring, I guess would be the best way to describe it, of knowing what's coming, of being refreshed in this season and being in a place of protection and nutritious value from the Lord. That's not really the best way to say it, but just really a place where the Lord is speaking to us in this season. And so we're seeing through scripture examples of the importance of the evening watch. And as we're in this month, to let's be purposeful at the evening watch to 5, 10 minutes, a minute, 30 seconds, just to relieve our anxieties and watch what the Lord wants for us now and in the season ahead as we establish this habit in our lives. Okay. Now, with that being said, some news came out last night during the evening watch about some scenarios happening in Ukraine, more so moves being made by Zelensky. And so we want to give a little update on those. So today, Zelensky will be speaking before, which is hilarious, the UN Council on supposed humanitarian atrocities that have been happening with the whole thing. And look, it's disastrous what is coming out. The videos, the photography of what has happened, and Russia is denying it. Oh, that's Ukrainian propaganda, et cetera, et cetera. But there's, out of these scenarios, and what Zelensky's trying to bring up is that, and even the U.S. itself is saying that Russia needs to be prosecuted for crimes of war. And there's actually a good article from Reuters that talks about, okay, if you're going to prosecute them, how are you going to prosecute them? And if you do actually go forward with it, it's going to take years. So it's going to take time for this stuff to happen, number one. But then number two is you're going to have somebody in custody as part of these council, international councils. You're going to have to get somebody in custody from Russia. Well, if Russia understands that, Russians, Putin, anybody within Russia understands this, they're going to just stay within Russia and stay within friendly nations. And so there's what's going to happen then. And so what you're seeing now is a complete divide within the world of what laws and what the authority that these quote-unquote international councils have, the UN, NATO, all this stuff. Putin and the Russians and the Chinese and all these other countries, they don't care. They legitimately do not care about these laws that are put in place, and they do not care about the ideologies that are being put forward of LGBTQ and all this stuff. They don't want that. The people in those countries do not want that. And so what we're seeing from that, which I'll get to here in a sec, is they're actually starting to grow more in line, to be more in line with Putin. Some of it is manipulated. Some of it is they really just don't want this stuff. So we'll see what actually happens about this, if anything actually moves forward. And one thing that's leading to this is something that's – it's very troubling to see this. I guess this is the best way to say this. The U.S. is – Treasury Department, the U.S. government, Biden administration has prevented Russia from being able to pay upwards of $40 billion of debt obligations with money that is our Russian government's funds in American banks, only in America, in U.S. dollars. They're preventing – the U.S. government is preventing them from using that money to pay for the debts. And the goal is from the U.S. government, the Treasury Department administration, is to get Russia to pay from the reserves within Russia for the debt payments that they're being able to make, that they have to make if they're going to want to stay – credit worthy with these nations. And so this is a seems like a smart move in the short term, but in the long term, does other countries look at this and say, okay, if we don't do what the US wants, or what the UN wants, what NATO wants, what all these other organizations want, then they're going to lock our money up? And this is all based on a good faith scenario. And I understand that Russia is the bad actor in this. But this is a point of this might actually hurt the U.S. more than help, because now Russia's going to say this is even more reason why we need to build up our own currency, have it backed by gold commodities, which is what they're doing, and strengthen their own currency so that they can buy, sell, and trade based upon their own creditworthiness and what other nations deem as creditworthy. And if they can strengthen their ruble and lower our dollar, that doesn't necessarily seem like a best move for what the Treasury Department and Janet Yellen and the Biden administration are doing here. And other nations could are going to see this and take note and see what happens. As we see now, the U.S. ambassador to the UN calls for suspending Russia from the Human Rights Council. Well, let's talk about the Human Rights Council, which is a joke. It has countries like China and Venezuela on there right now. And this is – Venezuela was put on an app, I believe, after right around the time of they were running over their own citizens with tanks because they had sticks. That Venezuela and the China who has people in concentration camps right now. So the Human Rights Council isn't necessarily have the moral high ground, to say the least, in this situation because Russia's involved in it. And I think it just shows the ultimate joke of what the Human Rights Council and the UN are and is. And this is what Russia's exposing in all of this is it's blowing this all this out of proportion. And what we're finding through all these, you know, they want to talk about war crimes and all this stuff that are coming out of all this is that the Russians, there's this opinion article from Politico that talks about it. But there's also this article that is from the New York Times that talks about Russians are actually getting behind Putin. All these sanctions and all this stuff are actually forcing Russian oligarchs, everyday Russians, some of it forced, some of it because of government overreach and tyrannical government. Russia is still a somewhat of a democracy. It's enough of a democracy to force people to be having to be manipulated to vote for Putin. And so they're seeing now that, okay, all these sanctions and stuff are coming on top of us. The experts, the oligarchs, they're going to have them and their families are going to have to stay within Russia. So they're going to want Russia to be supported. They'll live in whatever scenario they live in. So they'll support Putin as long as their lives are okay. And they'll want to strengthen the economy of Russia, strengthen the ruble versus a dollar, and they'll live within Russia, under the clout of potentially, you know, the threat of being arrested if you ever go against Putin. They'll live with that because they're going to live the high life. And other Russians are starting to follow through. People with inside Russia, even middle class and lower class, middle class economically people, they're starting to back Putin because they don't want, just like we saw yesterday with the election results from Serbia and Hungary, they do not want what the West is trying to give them. Leaders like Biden, the LGBTQ type stuff, Germany, even Zelensky in Ukraine, they do not want that. They've been down that road. They know what that means. They do not hold to those values, whether it be because they're Russian Orthodox or Roman Catholic, whatever the case may be. They do not want that. And so they're getting behind Putin and all this, and these sanctions and all this stuff is causing all that. So when we see, oh, yay, we're going to put these sanctions on. Oh, yay, we're going to do this. Well, look at the long-term effects because we're seeing that these countries are only going halfway. Oh, we'll put sanctions on the oligarchs, but we're still going to keep buying oil from them. They're going to still keep buying oil from them. And there's really only three states, more so, that is actually because of decisions that they made 8 years ago to prepare themselves to not be forced to have to take Russian oil and gas by having LNG ports in their ports in the water. Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia are joining Lithuania to cut off all, and this is only a couple days ago, cut off all oil and gas coming from Russia and anything that would come via Russia and Belarus and Russian gas, energy, anything. They're cutting it off. Well, the problem is Germany and EU struggle with that because they made the opposite decisions 8 years ago to not do what Lithuania did. Now, Lithuania and all these other countries are smaller. Germany and the rest of Italy, France, the rest of Europe, they need more energy. Germany gets 55%, 50-something percent energy. Europe in total gets 40%. We talked about that before. So you're seeing – I point this out because, you know, we're praying about leaders, not only current leaders in this administration, but for future leaders to see the decisions being made now And hopefully they can have the wisdom and revelation to be able to make the proper decisions in the future that will help the nation and the people who are in it be able to prosper. And not just because we don't want to suffer, but to say I want them to make the right, I want the Biden administration to make the right decisions. I may not have voted for, I may not agree with a lot of the policy decisions, but I want them to make decisions that are in the proper context for helping those survive and not have to be forced into desperation. So we say all that, and we're seeing this. I'm just laying this story out because we're seeing this scenario of, okay, look, what we're seeing, what is happening now is because of decisions made in the past. So there's nothing we can really do about that fully right now. There's some things that this administration could be doing too that could help. But moving forward, we're going to see what happens. And then, as we talked about yesterday, Russia saying, if you're not our friend, if you don't do what we want, we're going to cut you off. What does that mean for these countries? And so you're seeing Germany saying, we're not going to cut off our oil and gas purchasing from Russia because we need it. Their past leaders failed in the past because they weren't using wisdom. They were just, well, this is easy for us, so we're just going to take it. Versus, hey, the long run, you have to insulate yourself. And Russia did the opposite. Russia said, we're going to push ourselves away from the United States and we're going to be self-sufficient. They've been that. You're starting to see the fruits of that. So just laying that out there and why we really need to pray for our leaders currently and future. And in this situation with Ukraine, pray for them to have wisdom and fear the Holy Spirit when dealing with these issues and with Israel and with China, as we're seeing what's coming out of China now with the, just complete overall lockdown of entire city states of millions of people, districts and stuff. So we want to stay focused on that because that's, I think, a huge key about what's going on. It's shaping the world as we see it today. But now we want to get into some of the news here in the United States. And we posted this last night in the pipeline group that we're now pretty much confirmed that upwards of 18,000 migrants per day will come once May 23rd happens, when Title 42 is removed. And you have three states' attorney generals. I know Louisiana is one of them, Arizona and Missouri, who are trying to keep Title 42 imposed at the border to help lower that and force the administration to send some people back because they're being overfilled. But two things on this. One is those cases are most likely going to fail. They're meritless. Because if you're going to say, well, you need to end COVID mandates, but you need to keep it at the border, it's kind of hypocritical. But then also the fact is that you have reports coming out of meetings within Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas, who has been noted and on paper saying and going to the border and showing migrants how to get around Title 42, how to get around the Remain in Mexico policy and all that stuff. So they're circumventing, they're ignoring the laws that they're forced to, they're supposedly in upholding. So you have some lawlessness there. But I say this in this scenario of if they're coming and they're coming in droves, then we need to prepare our hearts to reach out to them, to spread the gospel of the kingdom to them. And there may be bad actors involved. There are probably some innocents in there as well, women and children. But at the end of the day, they're coming here. And if our directive from the Lord in the New Testament, with what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew, was to spread, to make disciples of nations. Right now, we're not able to go to nations because of COVID and the war and high inflation prices and whatever. For whatever reason, they're coming to us. So if they're coming to us, and look, we can pray for wise leaders to raise up and secure our borders so that things don't happen. Unfortunately, right now, with what Mayorkas is doing and Harris and Biden, they don't care about laws right now for whatever reason. They're allowing, this is being allowed to happen. The Lord's allowing it to happen. So we, within our hearts, prepare, repent, get healed, get delivered, be refreshed. So that when they do come in May, towards the end of May, and even now, they're still coming at extremely high numbers. Even this first year, it's been the most legal border crossing, so however you want to put it, come across our border in American history. Because they're coming because Joe Biden said they can come. Day one of his presidency, that's what they said. So we want to intercede for American church to be ready to share the gospel of the kingdom for those coming across the border, so that number one, if they're not saved, to get saved, to get healed, delivered, and so that they can have a heart to go back and spread the gospel of the kingdom to their nation. Because we've told stories about how there have been Iraqis who came to America, they got healed, they got delivered, they got saved. Then they went back to their nation, and now they're a arrow in the hands of the Lord, of being able to touch the hearts and the minds of the people there. Not because of some intellectual argument that are able to do apologetics, just because they've had a personal experience and relationship with the Lord that has otherwise been unknown to them. And it's dealing and with everything that's going on over there economically, religiously, within their countries and the rules of law that they've been under, they're open and they're willing to accept the gospel now more than ever, and they're hungry. And there's numerous testimonies of people having dreams with Jesus. And so if they're having encounters and the Lord's preparing their hearts for that, and these people are coming here and then they go back, it's a testimony to be fruitful in whatever season and whatever scenario is provided for us. Because what the enemy meant for evil, we talked about this at the beginning of COVID, God can turn for good. And there's been a lot of good, there's been a lot of bad that's happened, but is now we see this as happening. Let's prepare our hearts rather than just be upset and be angry. Okay, we can be that. We can chew gum and walk at the same time of praying. We have leaders who secure our border. And hey, if you're here, let's pray for you. Let's break bread with you. If you need an interpreter, find an interpreter. If you don't speak the language that they speak. And understand that, look, they're going to come with some baggage, as we all do, but that the Lord would protect you, send angels with you, as Eliezer did when he went to go find Isaac a wife, Rebecca. So that's just something we want to pray for. And then I want to end on a good note, somewhat of a funny note, is that, which I think is interesting coming from Tulsi Gabbard, is that she's shocked that the parental right bill for children from K through third grade only went to third grade. She's saying, why not more? And that's a thing of, okay, other states, why not more? And you're seeing teachers who are groomers resign, which is, if I can't say this, I need to resign. That's fine. Great. Then something, sorry about my dog. It's my security alarm. Is New York is now saying, well, we're going to start advertising in Florida for anybody who doesn't want to be a part of this. They can come to New York. And Florida's like, okay, cool. Thank you. like it's not that we don't necessarily want those people. It's that we don't want the persuasion of innocent little children to be taught these ideologies and to ultimately give parents back the right. And that's ultimately what this bill is about, of protecting innocent children, keeping their innocence until they have the opportunity to make the decision for themselves. And hopefully by then they have the wisdom and revelation to not give in to these ideologies. But New York thinks it's doing a good thing by, oh, we're going to advertise in Florida, get them to come back or get them to come to New York. Yeah, that's higher taxes, higher crime rates, but just being shoved in front of subway train. Yeah, that's going to go over real well. So you're seeing a lot of this is the Tulsi Gabbard thing is kind of interesting. It's really true coming from her, who, look, a lot of the ideologies she stands for open up the door for this type of stuff to happen. And then now, oh, yeah, because the way the popular culture is going now, I'm going to stand up against it. And then talked about this before, about how at the end of the day in America, it's going to come down to what your local leaders do. So when we think about the local election or the elections coming up, the midterms, you're going to have, you know, your federal elections for Congress and Senate, but then you're also going to have your local and gubernatorial elections. Those elections are going to mean more than anything. Your city council elections, your judicial elections for judges in your districts and your parishes and your counties. Those are going to mean more than anything that the federal government does. So as we get closer, and you're seeing the results of that play out right now, and this is an opinion article from Newsweek from a former Trump Assistant Secretary, Monica Crawley, showing statistically how red states in particular have had unemployment lower than what it was before pandemic and more jobs in general than before the pandemic, because the economies are opened up, free trade, lower taxes. During this hot time of high inflation, these states are making decisions that benefit their constituents more than increasing taxes and giving stimulus checks and so forth. And you're seeing that in states like California, where we want to start the income program, guaranteed income program. That is not going to go over well, because you still have to have a tax revenue to be able to do that. And the only reason they have a surplus right now is because they've had stimulus package from the government. So it's a crazy cycle of economic policies that are being made. But I point this story out to show that for those states who have elected local leaders who are actually going to look at the scenario, look objectively at the situation, and make decisions that are best for their constituencies, it starts more at the local level. The federal government only has reached so far. There's only so much they can do. And a lot of what's in the Constitution was there to limit the federal government, but then give states the power to be able to make their own decisions about certain scenarios. And so you're seeing that play out now and in the days ahead, and it's going to be more important to understand that as you go to these elections. Be more involved in your local level. Be more involved even in these city council meetings, the school board meetings. You're seeing the importance of that, because this next election will be about those that are dealing with the policy decisions that are closer to you in proximity and being involved there. And then the last thing is, we want to continue this week praying for church leaders who rise up and speak repentance. You know, we're seeing this call for revival, and that's great. But the way you get revival, the way you get people revived towards turning back to the heart of the Father, is to teach repentance. It's to teach them what do they need to turn back from? What do they need to be revived from? And it starts with repentance and dealing with the sins of our past. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. I'm speaking more so to myself than anything, but I keep seeing, and again, I don't think it's wrong, pastors saying, we need revival, sin revival. That's awesome. I 100% agree with that. But it starts with repentance. And because of things that have been taught in the past, we see ourselves in this situation. And again, it starts in the church. So we want to continue to pray for that, continue to stand on the wall as we deal with things in our own hearts, so that we can be healed and delivered and be able to be a change agent for the season ahead, to be able to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So I want to end on that positive note. And that prayer point, show what we can be focusing on in this, the restful warring season that we were in, and to be able to move forward in the coming increased battle with a refreshed, renewed mind and a sense of purpose and strength for what is to come. And so today, don't forget, we have our noon prayer at Christian Center Shreveport for anybody who is able to join us, and we'll be online on all of our platforms as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.